We're going to take some pastoral reflections on sickness and death in this life. And if you are visiting or new, we are not morbid people. But we are realistic. And we are sojourners, and we fight sorrow, and we fight sin, and we fight the curse each and every day as it encompasses our life. So, I want to share with you three reflections. I just have some scattered notes, so my mind is a bit scattered today. Bear with me. You're probably thinking that's nothing new, Ryan. So, number one, sickness and death are not in control. God is. Sickness and death are not in control. God is. Revelation 1:17, would you turn there? Revelation 1:17 and 18. John here is, he's stunned at the sight that he's encountering. He's encountered the glorified Christ, this exalted Son of Man. When I saw him, John says, I fell at his feet as though dead. But he laid his right hand on me, his hand of favor. You can see the affection of Christ saying, fear not, John. I am the first and the last and the living one. I died. And here's our hope. Behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys to death and Hades. Christ has the keys and no one else. Christ has the keys for your life, Karen's life, and the life of everybody in this world. What he locks, he locks. What he unlocks. And they go to life and they go to death. For Karen, perhaps she will go finally to the land of the living. Christ is in control of all things. From him and through him and to him are all things, even including death and sickness. He holds it all. He holds it all. Psalm 139, turn there. Psalm 139, verse starting in verse 13. You formed my inward parts, and you knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. Here it is. In your book were written every one of them. What was written? Every one of them. The days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. So God, as creator, knitted you together in your mother's womb. His eye upon you, his favor upon you. He would put you in Christ one day. You were not hidden from God. He knows you. He knows Karen. And every day of your life, every day of her life was written before any of them came to pass. The day you were born, the day she was born, the day I was born, and the day you would die, the day I would die, in the day Karen would die. He knows them all. Every single one of them, he knows. Before there was yet one of them existed. When as yet there was none of them. And he formed Karen. And perhaps at the age of 56, she would come face to face with her Savior. But he would put Karen in this church, the greatest church in Colorado. Right? If you don't believe it, I don't know why you're here. And you would love her, and she would love you. You know you are Karen's family. Donna, you're included. You were Karen's family. She loved you. And she would spend perhaps 7 years with us. I hope to God more. But I don't know. Other texts teach us that sickness and death are not in control. God is. Psalm 115:3. Deuteronomy 32:29. Psalm 33:11, Job 14:1-5. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. Isaiah 40-48. God's decree is eternal. It is immutable. It does not change. It cannot be thwarted, and it cannot be frustrated. It is fixed. Whatever my God ordains is right, the poet says. In his love, I am abiding. I will be still in all he does. I will be still in all he does. And follow where he is guiding. Where he is guiding. Where he is guiding. So Moses says in Psalm 90, teach us to number our days. He's not, I'm 38. He's not saying take 365 times 38 and actually number your days. He's saying realize life. That it is short and uncertain. So number my days means to be concerned with the things that are chief in life. Those things that are primary. God in Christ and his favor and love for his people. Be concerned. Number your days. Number your days. Number two, and I don't know how long this is going to be or how short. Sickness and death are not natural. Life is. Sickness and death are not natural. Life is. 1 Corinthians 15:26. Paul here is speaking about the glorious resurrection we have in Christ. We will be raised. Why? Because Christ was raised. 1 Corinthians 15:26. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. Death is an enemy. Death is an intruder. It doesn't belong. This is God's world. He made it with life. What's natural is health. What's natural is goodness. What's natural is healthiness and all of his greatness and goodness in this world. Death doesn't belong. But we live under the curse. And one day this last enemy will be destroyed. Turn to John 11. I think this is illustrated well in John 11. We'll pick up the story in verse 32. You know this story, I think, well. It's the text of Lazarus and Mary and Martha. Lazarus has died. And his sisters are weeping. And Jesus stayed 2 days to make sure Lazarus would die. Pick up the story in John 11, 32. When Mary came to Jesus, to where Jesus was, and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would have not died." What a statement. Mary's saying, "Lord, I know you're sovereign. I know you're in control. I know you hold the keys to death and Hades, but I want my brother back. I want him back. And he's not here because you were gone." Don't you love her realness? "I know you're in control," we pray. "I know you're sovereign. But we want our sister back. We want her back." And what does Jesus say? I love this. When Jesus saw her weeping, the Jews had come with her also weeping. He was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. He doesn't rebuke her. You know, Mary, she's present with the Lord. Though true. He doesn't even rebuke her for crying and for questioning. Why? Why doesn't he rebuke her? Is it because she was crying, didn't understand? No, he himself is about to burst into tears. He weeps. He's deeply moved. He is indignant. That's the word there. He's mad. He's angry. Why? Most commentators say because he's face to face with his enemy, death. As the Lion of Judah, he sees what death has done to those he loves. And Jesus is angry. He is indignant about what death has done to those he loves. It's an emotion you ought to have as you grieve. You go to Karen's room and there's tubes everywhere, machines on. You see her laying there. Everything's beeping. You hardly get a thought. And there's anger. You're indignant at what death has done. Curse sin. And damn be to death. Damn death. We want our sister back. One day, we will say with the Apostle Paul, "O death, where is your victory? And O death, where is your sting? The power of death is sin, and for those of us who have been washed of our sin in the blood of Christ, we will rejoice." That death being overcome. So sickness and death are not natural. Life is. Number three, cast yourself on God. Cast yourself on God. 1 Peter 5. First Peter 5. Apostle Peter writes in verse 6, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Humble yourselves, Peter says, under the mighty hand of God. The mighty hand of God, it's his powerful hand. It's speaking about his omnipotence, his power over this world and over the Christian life. And we're to come under that hand. Whatever that mighty hand gives us in this life, we're to come under it. Whatever it affords us and allows us to receive, whatever lot we're given, in the words of Thomas Boston, come under that mighty hand. Humble yourselves so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. We're not to hold them back. We're not to give them to other people. Ultimately, to cast our anxieties, cast our worries, cast our fears on God in his goodness for us in the gospel. On him, John Newton says, come my soul, thy suit prepare. Jesus loves to answer prayer. He himself has bid thee pray. Rise and ask without delay. Without delay. Well, cast your anxieties, your fears upon God. Thou art coming to a king, Newton says. Large petitions with thee bring, for his grace and power are such. None can ever ask too much. This is our God. You can never ask too much. Why do we cast our anxieties on God? Why must you cast yourself on God today and all your life? It says right there in front of you, because he cares for you. He cares for you. You're not to cast your anxieties on him because he told you so, though true. To cast your anxieties on him because he can hear you. He does. He doesn't tell you to cast your anxieties on him or your life because it's the Christian thing to do, the right thing to do. All of those are true. Cast your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Our God is a deep, deep well of affection and love for you. Did you know that? The center of our God, if I can even put it like that. He cares for you. He's not only in control and he's sovereign, yes, yes, yes. But he has a heart for you. He cares for you. And he cares for Karen today. Thou art coming to a king. Large petitions with thee bring, for his grace and power are such. None can ever ask too much. Oh, beloved congregation, I come to you today, as you can tell, in great weakness, in great exhaustion, in great weariness, and heavy laden. But it's this phrase, he cares for you. It means the world. He cares for you. Lord God, I don't have much else to say. Other than I pray to a king today that you would give us our sister back. And I pray accordance with your will. We will never have a Gethsemane, but we do pray, not I will, but your will be done. Your will be done. That's our final prayer. So cause this moment, this event, this sickness to bring this church together in love, harmony, unity, that we would be distinct, God, a people for Christ's sake and for the well-being of one another's souls. Amen.